Hey, this is WTOP's Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by, just say your name and your title.
Sylvia Earle, National Geographic Explorer, founder of Mission Blue.
And also author of the great new book. It's called by National Geographic Ocean, A Global Odyssey. And it's going to be, we'll probably run this interview on Earth Day. It's a perfect tie-in. Explain why the book is so fitting for Earth Day. And, you know, the ocean, how the ocean isn't really, it isn't something that's just for, you know, deep sea divers and explorers. It affects everybody, all of our everyday existence, right?
Well, the world is basically blue. No ocean, no life. The ocean shapes Earth into a habitable place, and it isn't just the rocks and water. The fact that the Earth, and especially the ocean, is alive, that's what I hope we can, that you will take away from diving into this book about the ocean. It's a living system that makes our existence possible.
Oh yeah, 71% of the Earth is covered by water, and I guess all 96.5% of all of the Earth's water is contained in these oceans, and so much of it has been unexplored. I think like over 80% has never even been mapped. So it's like this big mysterious thing, just like outer space. We know so little about it. Is that what intrigues you about it?
But unlike outer space, the ocean is alive, and that's
yeah, right.
Really,
as far as we know.
Yeah, well, even in a cup full of water, there may be not just thousands, but literally millions of extremely tiny but extremely important creatures, bacteria, even viruses that are responsible for shaping the nature of the ocean into a planet, into a system that makes Earth habitable. It's the chemistry of Earth that is shaped by life in the ocean. Not just the whales and fish and squid and things, but the very small creatures that are celebrated in Ocean, A Global Odyssey. I think my favorite part of the book is the big foldout that illustrates the nature of the many variations on the theme of animals and plants and the little guys that make Earth habitable for the likes of us.
Yeah, you mentioned the big foldout. Describe a little more, you know, of the visual of the book, you know, because I have it here and you've had it in front of you. But for listeners reading it, describe how, you know, it's a pretty thick, sizable book and it's really colorful. You got photographs, you got the foldout. Like, talk about how it's as a piece of a visual work.
Well, National Geographic is noted for being able to bring to the public some of the best images that have ever been developed. And here with images of the ocean above and below, as well as maps that show the nature of the major features of the ocean. And so I think as the author, it's a combination of words and music, if you will, the images plus stories. The explorers, the scientists who tell their stories about how do we know what we know about the ocean? What technologies now exist that make it that make it possible to understand the ocean as never before, but also to realize that the greatest era of exploration is just beginning. We know enough to know that just in the past few decades, human actions have altered the nature of the ocean to a dangerous level. And that going forward, protection of the ocean is critical, not just to protect the fish and the whales and coral reefs and kelp forests, but that by protecting them, we're securing our own future, that climate and the ocean are closely connected. So each of the chapters of the book, each of the chapters celebrates not just the topics such as climate and the nature of storms, the importance of taking care of coral reefs and all of that. It's making the featuring individuals telling their stories and making the ocean basically come alive with the nature of how do we know who's out there, down there, and why does it matter to everyone, everywhere, all the time?
Exactly. And you mentioned the, you know, the that we're just now realizing how human impact is affecting and, you know, endangering the oceans. Where do we stand in terms of ocean pollution, the health of the actual oceans? Like, are they in trouble on that front, on as far as polluting?
Well, now we know that what we're putting into the ocean, what we're taking out of the ocean, is changing the nature of our life support system. Any astronaut will tell you that looking after your life support system should be a high priority, maybe the highest priority. Those of us who go down in the ocean and living underwater or going in submarines, life support is vital. We have always taken for granted the air we breathe, the water that magically falls out of the sky. But because of the changes that we have imposed on the land, on the atmosphere, and certainly on the ocean, we know that we have to change how we regard these basic systems because our very existence depends on it. The health of the ocean has declined significantly just during the decades that I have been a witness, and the decades ahead are likely to be the most important in all of the future going forward, that the next 10 years in particular have a magnified importance for what we do or what we fail to do with taking care of the living systems that underpin our existence.
Dive deeper into the climate change side of it. You know, is the changing temperatures and chemistry of the actual ocean? Are, you know, what's the disaster that lurks ahead if we don't you know, turn this thing around? Like, we're talking rising sea levels and, you know, flooding on the coast, or what all? I don't want to be doomsday, but like what climate change dangers lurk if we don't straighten this out?
Sea level rise is a visible consequence of the warming planet, melting polar ice. Warm water occupies more space than cold water. So basically the ocean is expanding as the planet warms. But it's just fundamental that all creatures, including humans, are sensitive to a limited temperature regime. So change the temperature, you change basically everything in terms of where plants and animals and bacteria, all forms of life, occupy just a very narrow, relatively narrow range of temperature, considering the wide range of temperature that is possible. And we're seeing changes in forests. We're changing the forests of the ocean, where phytoplankton, variations on the theme of phytoplankton, can survive. About half of the coral reefs have already disappeared or are in a state of serious decline, largely because of the changes in temperature. The coral reefs need a warm temperature for their existence, but if it gets too warm, they perish, and that's what's happening. It's a combination of what we're taking out of the ocean. Coral reefs need their associated fish and other organisms. So it's partly temperature that's driving the change, but it's also our exploitation of ocean wildlife, taking too much out of the ocean, and what we're putting in as well, the pollutants, including the new focus on plastic pollution. That's an issue that is new in my lifetime. Plastics basically didn't exist when I was a kid. Now they are inundating our lives I mean, plastics serve us well in so many ways, but too much of a good thing can be a bad thing. The use of synthetic materials for fishing lines and nets. One of the great qualities of plastic goods is that they're durable. They last for a very long time. And we're not talking just days and weeks and months, but years, decades, centuries, even millennia. And so there really is no way for these synthetic materials. They'll be with us for probably the rest of our existence. There's a new era that geologists have recognized starting in the middle of the 20th century, known as the Anthropocene, because of our mark on the nature of the world.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thanks for taking me into, you know, such a deep dive on, I mean, those are some of the dangers and, you know, some of the more serious issues of how we're altering the planet. Before we run, sorry, were you going to say something?
Yeah, the good news is we know what we're doing.
Yeah.
Imagine if we didn't know.
Exactly.
Armed with knowledge, we can make different decisions and have a long and prosperous future for ourselves.
Exactly. And before we run, let's end on a more fun note, let's say. You know, tell us some of the crazy, cool, amazing deep sea life forms that are just now being discovered. Like, what's some of the stuff that's brand new that you know, oceanographers and scientists are just now discovering?
Well, I have a friend who dives into the twilight zone, that area where the illuminated part of the ocean meets the eternal darkness. And because it's so little explored, this is Richard Pyle at the Bishop Museum in Hawaii. He's discovered as many as 13 new kinds of fish per hour submerged in this twilight zone. But it's filled with other forms of life that we're just beginning to discover as well. Variations on the theme of squid and octopuses, jelly creatures that look like aliens, but they're here as our neighbors on this little known planet that we call home.
It's very cool. And you can see it all and read about it all and all the you know, highlighting all the people that make it possible, all the scientists in the new book. It's called Ocean, A Global Odyssey. It's by National Geographic, and I assume we can get it anywhere, right? It's out, it's on the shelves, and it's on Amazon. You can get it wherever, right?
That is correct. Dive in, and I hope it will lead you to dive into the ocean itself. Wherever you are, find a way to go exploring.
And is it true, real quick, final seconds, didn't you get a big honor by Time Magazine? Were you the first hero of the planet?
That's a fact.
when was that bestowed upon you, and why? What? How? Explain really. I know you don't want to brag about yourself, but I'm giving you the opportunity. why did they name you that?
It was back in 1998, and perhaps because I was lucky to come along and be able to use some of the new technologies that have been developed to be able to live underwater, use more than 30 different kinds of submersibles, and to be able to share the view with the world.
Well, thank you. Yeah, you're sharing it again with everyone who picks up this book. So, hey, thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.